News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It must be another Saturday morning, Melissa Sargent. We're sitting
really?
In the studio.
Wait, I don't have my headset.
And you don't know what's going on.
I have no idea. Am I here yet?
No, you're not here yet.
Oh,
but
there
it's
I am.
A history
I'm here.
Show, as we always do at this time of day. And it's basically a matter of history that we like because
really?
It's El Paso history. And you know what? El Paso history, is we know it's really cool because Texas history begins here.
Always.
Texas history begins in El Paso.
Yes.
And we've challenged everybody, the rest of the state, and they never come back with anything because we're correct.
That's right.
And we know that, so we keep pushing it like
we're
we did, like we know something. But we're on 690 AM, and where else may they find us?
Well, we're on the planet on KTSMradio.com or go to iHeartRadio.com, and you can get the app where you can listen to us anywhere in the universe.
And you got trivia today?
I have lots of trivia.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
We do, and you'll get a $20 gift certificate if you can get the correct answer, or...
They went to 25.
Usually going the
look,
other
he
direction.
He made a mistake, and he gave us the coupons at 25,
25.
This month.
Get it now while you can.
Don't tell Pepe.
Don't tell Pepe.
But anyway, it's Pepe's.
$25 in food at Pepe's up in Canyon Teal, or an El Paso Gold DVD, of which we have like a gazillion to
hold
this
bunch
morning.
Of those
We've got
there.
Historic Sites and Markers, Gunfights, the Old West, which is the best because I'm in it.
Well, you're in several of those.
We have Mount Crystal Ray, Tom Lee's El Paso, let's see, McGoffin Home, Ghost Stories of El Paso's 4 and 2 and 3, Legends of El, well, we already went through that one. That's a duplicate.
No, I put a duplicate in there.
I know, I just
asked,
yanked it out of
they
there.
They asked for the mountains. And
Women's
so
Club of El Paso, who's got a great fall festival going on
right now. Why do
you
think I put
right
that, yeah, put that in there?
It's a setup.
So there's that.
And Waco Tanks and the Smelter.
And those are some unusual things we took a look at with a TV documentary. And most of those have aired on KRWG Television in Las Cruces, which is an El Paso demographic station. Demographic station. And also KCOS has occasionally aired some of our stuff. So we do what we can out there. And
that's
in the meantime, we're going to talk about the a lunch at Pepe's today for those who can make it. You're probably not going to make
it.
No, I'm you're busy downtown.
I'm tired.
The history moment. What's our history moment today?
Our history moment is about the showplace of the Southwest, the Myers Opera House.
And it burned down.
And it's, yeah, you just took away my line.
It's
I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
It's in the lead in that you wrote, so there
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, it's a great place. And it
we'll
was
get
the,
to that.
The rise and the demise, yes.
Second hour, we'll do that thing. Okay, but today we're going to have an interesting look at some people who are doing something about
an
local
exciting
history.
Exciting program.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on here. We want to welcome a whole bunch of people in the studio this morning. Dr. Brad Cartwright, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here. And also, you're going to help us understand what you're doing about local history, even though you're at UTEP. You can help the high schoolers.
That's correct.
That's the point. So, obviously, we have a teacher in here from Wiggs Middle School,
yay.
Adriana Jimenez. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
And we also have a student that you have put through this, Joseph Horak. Howdy.
Hello. Good morning.
Welcome here, sir. And you know how radio is. You have a father in radio, so you probably have learned a few of these things. But also, you're a broadcaster of some nature. You've been making videos, haven't you?
I made a short documentary for National History Day when I was in eighth grade. And right now, we're trying to build a broadcast journalism program at El Paso High School.
Oh, I love it.
We're making little, short little videos and stuff about different things that are going on in the school. And then also trying to promote this website so that way you're no longer having to print newspapers.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, I envy you because when I was in high school, I would have loved to have a program like that.
Oh, I think it's
I mean, I went straight from high school to Kelp Television as an engineer, which was kind of a weird twist, but that was my path. I really wanted to do it. So I went and got an FCC license and learned how to do that stuff back when that was required.
But video is so much easier today.
Oh, it's simple. You pick up a phone, you can make a movie. Back in the day, we had to scrounge for anything and try to transfer 8mm or whatever.
I was going
to
say an 8mm.
But let's talk about what's going on here, because the whole idea is an essay contest and a history day. Brett Cartwright, professor, tell us what's going on here. Overview this for the people.
Sure. So History Day, which we've been doing in El Paso now, I think for about, we hosted at UTEP, and we've been doing this for nearly 20 years. It's an exciting educational opportunity for middle and high school students to develop research, analytical communication skills while learning history and like Joseph, you're demonstrating their creativity in the process.
Is it mostly local, or do you reach out to other regions?
Well, in terms of our students, it's everybody within this region, all the different school districts within this region. Now, within when it comes to the historical topics, we go from world history to American history to Texas history to El Paso history.
Let me guess, you make it interesting.
We do our very best.
That's what was wrong with my high school experience. How about you?
No, I actually had a couple of good history teachers. California, there were a couple of things they did good.
Well, that's another thing.
Just a couple, I want you to know.
In California, it's actually in the curriculum there.
It was. Now it isn't. The L.A. school district was...
They took it out.
Never mind.
Adriana, tell
Ventura
us about...
Ventura school district was good.
What happens at Wiggs Middle School? Now, everything we're talking about here for the students at this time in the school systems is a volunteer thing, is it not?
Yes, we do this in our spare time.
But you do it in your spare time, but the students don't get credit either.
Well, we incorporate it into our curriculum. It's not necessarily in the EPISD 8th grade curriculum, but we at Wiggs Middle School try to incorporate it into our curriculum so that we can get these skills and we can study history. And these are skills that the kids are going to take with them into their high school college years. And it really does prepare them for it.
Does it help for their college down the road? I mean, is this something they could put on their call for their college resume?
Oh, yes,
they
definitely.
Okay, there you
definitely.
Go.
It's not an AP course, though, is it necessarily?
No.
Okay, but the point is, it's something good for the kid. Let's ask Joseph. How did it work for you? You made a video. You like doing that, I'm guessing. But what about the topic?
Well, it was a very unique and formative experience, of course. And so each year they do an overall theme that your project's supposed to fit into, and so our year was leadership and legacy, and we wanted to grouped up with some of my friends. It was me, Daniel Edison, Justin Peel, and Jackson Yellen, and we really wanted to make a documentary because ever since we were little, we loved like making little videos and stuff, and we was just run around taking videos, and like they were horrible, but we loved doing it. And
you get better at it after a while.
Yeah.
Well, it's also in the old days, if you were shooting film, that got expensive. If shooting digital, erase it, start over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so we started doing research about the topic, and we were looking at some people that everyone, you know, we didn't want to do something that everyone was doing, but we couldn't think of anything. And I think this was a year or two after the film Hugo came out, which was based on the novel The Invention of Hugo Cabret, which is about this boy, if you don't know, and he meets a toy maker, and he slowly starts to unveil the toy maker's past as this figure, Georges Méliès, who was this very underrated filmmaker in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and he was really the first person to do something different than just filming crowds of people and filming, you know, the famous train pulling into the station.
See the story on him?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So our documentary was titled Georges Méliès, the Godfather of Cinema. And I think the time limit was 10 minutes. I think we were cut off at like 9:59.
But you maxed it out. Now, what you did was you shot it, you produced it, you wrote the scripts, whatever. Or did you just shoot stuff and then edit something into a video?
Well, we had these little transitions that we shot between different sections of our documentary. And those were all actually shot, and they're different videos of us talking and doing little transitions, and we incorporated some little tricks that he would use, like little jump cuts where one person would be over here, then they disappear, then reappear
right
over here.
Magic TV editing.
My favorite one was we had our friend Jack dress up in a green morph suit.
Oh.
But he didn't put the head on, so just a green morph suit up to his head.
You chroma keyed him.
Yeah, and then we had him stand in front of this green screen that these local filmmakers let us use, and he like kind of wobbled and then walked around while talking, and so the effect was just this floating head.
Oh yeah,
and that was probably the funniest thing. I think the first time we showed that to our class, everyone just started like, started cracking up.
Television can be a whole lot of fun, and the question I have for you all: how were you influenced to get this into your head and do this? Was it the teacher? Was it the parents? Was it both?
Well, it was definitely Miss Jimenez, because Miss Jimenez, since I think she met with us at the end of our seventh grade year, and was like, "Hey, start thinking about this. Start thinking about what you want to do." And I was like, oh, this is like just going to be this big project. Like, it's going to be such a pain to do. But we actually really got invested in it. And our parents were definitely helpful in that, too, because we'd be spending, you know, 6 hours in my basement every night editing stuff together.
Besides taking a lot of time, what has this done for you? What is your idea?
Well, it was my first really big project I ever did. They kind of set us up for it in seventh grade with this other project, which I think is called Hometown Frontiers. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of like a NHD-type project. It's a mini NHD kind of, and that's about El Paso history. You know, I think our teacher told us to do it on something that you could go see on a day trip.
Cool.
And so for that, I did that one. That was a solo project that I did on my great-grandfather, who was the chief of police here. And he helped get the El Paso Police Academy up on the mountain built.
Wow.
And all that. And then so from there, I started thinking, and then that kind of taught me how to do NHD a little bit. And then from there, NHD has really helped me through my entire high school career because it teaches you how to plan things out and work together and collaborate.
Very cool.
As a student, what would you tell other parents and grandparents listening now about what they could get their kids into? What is it about? What's the value of it?
Well, like I said, it's like super valuable because it really teaches you how to collaborate and do different things. And I think that, you know, a lot of parents get nervous because they think that their kids can't do it and they don't want to like overbear their kids with work and stuff. But I think that me and my teammates were an example that, you know, starting in middle school, your children are really becoming adults and they can do things on their own and really start to make these big projects.
What about the local history, the fact that you were not taught it otherwise? I mean, anybody here. What about local history being taught in our schools? You're doing it, Ms. Jimenez, because you're pushing it. You've decided to do it.
Yes. Yes, I did it because during one of the state competitions in Austin, I met a student that did a project on the San Elizario Socorro Isleta missions, and she's never been to El Paso. Oh. But she was so successful with that project, and so I decided to come back and incorporate that with our seventh graders and just teach them about the mission trail and the Tigua reservation. And the majority, I want to say almost all of them or none of them had ever heard of the Tiguas or the mission trail.
Oh yeah.
So that was really cool. That was really interesting.
My question to you, Joseph, is you as the person, the benefactor of this, what is the way to approach you as a student and you and other students? How do we get you involved? It's one thing asking the parents, but how do the parents approach you or other students to get you involved? I mean, it's one thing we can tell parents all day long, but how do we get you to listen?
Well, I think Ms. Jimenez is doing a good job about that by incorporating it into the curriculum. And she really helped us, you know, get excited about it by taking us to the UTEP library and all these different things. But I think what's a really important thing for students is to show them, like, examples of what other students have done before them and really convey
bring it to your level.
Yeah, and convey to them that this is a project that you can almost talk about anything on and do whatever you want. And I think that's a really important thing.
Rather than just kind of putting you in a tunnel, here you got to do this. What do you...
Yeah, instead of like telling them, oh, write a research paper on this.
Red card,
I
right.
think one of the things that we can all do as well as teachers of history is... express our students that we teach skills that are translatable across disciplines. So if you're an eighth grader, you certainly haven't decided if you want to what your career is going to be, but you can sell the parents on the idea because you're teaching them skills that, whether it be critical thinking, whether it be contextualizing, judging significances, these kind of things, these help in any career, in any discipline that you might find yourself in.
Well, do you also find that when you apply that to El Paso history, people figure out, oh, my God, look what happened here. It's amazing what happened here.
Yeah.
I mean, what is you're not from here?
I am not. I'm from the other side of the state. So I did go to public school in the state of Texas, and I did not
What'd you learn over there?
I learned a lot about the Alamo.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, it's state history.
And the Battle of San Jacinto.
That's correct.
And then that's where our education stopped here in El Paso.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Huh. And unfortunately, I didn't have good history teachers, and so I had no passion for it whatsoever. By the time I got to college, it wasn't until then that I was in a history class where I suddenly developed a passion for it.
Okay, so now you're in El Paso. You focused here for several years on the subjects. What do you think of this history?
The history of El Paso?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great. I think it's one thing that we can – so I teach American history at large, and more specifically 19th century American history, which is a story that's always been told from east to west. And so what I like to do when I bring El Paso into the conversation is mix that directional sense up and say this is a history that runs north and south
yeah.
uh-huh.
through here. And so we can – we can challenge the traditional narrative by bringing El Paso history into it.
You challenge it completely. Texas history begins in El Paso. Mm-hmm. And it does. And, I mean, that's just an amazing thing when you look back what went on when. And God bless the rest of Texas, but we were first. And in that sense of pride and looking at it, not on, many of us know that. Mm-hmm. I grew up as a kid not knowing that. Yeah. I wish I'd known that.
Do you also, when you're teaching both of you, when you're teaching the kids and the students, is, I should say students, do you teach them also the relevance of past to the present?
Yes.
That's one thing I get very frustrated is we're trying to almost change that now. It's like the past doesn't have anything to do with today. We want to almost forget that.
Or we want to revise it.
Yeah, we want to revise it. And the ugly past or the good past is not relevant to today. And yet that's how it keeps us from doing the things from behind we need to look to go forward.
Yeah, it's very important to make those connections and to show students that history does repeat itself. And
yes,
you can kind of tell the future by studying the past. And if you just start going into those patterns, it's very easy for students to kind of just make those connections on their own.
We got you here till 11 o'clock. What we'd like to do is have it understood with the audience how they can get their children involved. Maybe the kids themselves don't care about it, but mom and dad, we'll enroll them in some courses.
Well, yeah, mom and dad need to be involved. Even mom and dad can get excited about this.
One example. I grew up here as a kid, 0 to 18. I left, went to D.C., real quick resume, stayed there for 27 mm-hmm. years, came back at the age of 45, and had no idea that the Camino Real, the Mission Trail, Socorro Road, those three roads were one road. And then when you find out why, it's amazing to realize what happened on those same road. Because those are different time frames. And that's the history we need to talk about, why we should get into it, what you know about it. And maybe you could be, you're probably now an ambassador, Joseph. When you go out and you can talk about El Paso history, you're a bit of an ambassador of who we are. And as a kid, I was 18, I had no clue who we are. I said, oh, I'm getting out of here because I'm going to go to D.C. And I did. But when I came back, it was like, oh, my, all this happened here. You had Pancho Villa, you had these mountains, you have all this other history and the army and... It's amazing. That's why we do this radio show. But this radio show requires a commercial break. So
yes.
Here we go. Oh, trivia. Do you
I made up two trivia questions.
Do you have trivia
I
for
have
this?
Trivia. I changed
okay,
it all
let's hear it.
On myself.
What is it?
Okay, how many years has the UTEP History Day program been going on?
Oh, I heard that number,
yes.
But don't say it because
no.
We can't give you the prize.
And then the second question is, Joseph went to the National History Day program for what format? What was his format, his winning format, or this program he took to the National Day of History? And was it D.C. or where did you go to?
I think the competition was in Washington, D.C.
Washington,
D.C.
But what was it he
what did
present?
He do to
and
get
it's
there?
A multiple choice question. Was it video? Was it debate? Or was it presenting a paper?
All right, that's good. Those are the questions. And they'll call us up in a second. Give the phone number
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Hold on. You got to tell us about the Women's Club real quick.
Oh, that's right. Right now, they just started up. They have the Fall Fiesta at the Women's Club. It's our big fundraiser to help preserve the Women's Club, which is over 100 years old. Get out there. They've got artists, great things going on. They're going to have a tea room open. Go. It's only $3 to get in, and you're helping support some history.
The corner of Mesa and River.
River, right.
Hey, now repeat the questions real quick.
It
what did
is.
Joseph do?
Yes. No. It was how many years has the UTEP's history program been going on? And
the History Day.
History Day program. And what did Joseph present at the National History Day program? Was it video, debate, or a paper?
And what do you get for doing this?
$20 and $25. $25. I've been trained all these years.
Yeah,
$25 at Pepe's or an El Paso Gold DVD.
And when he gets the wind of this, he'll probably knock it back to 20 next month.
Yeah, I know.
Catch it while you can. Call us up and that's how you get this.
That's right. 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
It's finally here, our 2018 iHeartRadio Music Festival. Don't miss the biggest superstars.
Everyone in music wants to be here. T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Watch live on CWTV.com or the CW app. And listen on iHeartRadio next Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m.
Sponsored by Capital One. Capital One is using technology, innovation, and interaction to bring its customers great products, rewards, service, and access to unique and unforgettable experiences.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're looking up things and stuff is going on, and there are phone calls coming in, 544-5876. And we have one line open, but we have two filled up, so we'll talk to those people. And you will stay second.
That's
but
right.
there is so much going on that we need to talk about today. We should probably get into it. There's an event going on today out at UTEP, actually, the Centennial Museum. They're having a new exhibit open today, and it's called Rations, Rights, Rivets, and Experiencing World War II in El Paso. What happened here? They got an exhibit on the darn thing. 2 to 4 p.m. opening today at the Centennial Museum, University, and Wiggins, and it's going to be at the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens. We're all going to have the same place. World War II was a defining point in history that saw the transformation of the world, including the United States and El Paso. They have chronicled that in some exhibit up there. Then it'll be up for a while, but today's the opening. So if you're going to get involved in it, today's a good day.
Tom Lee Institute's coming up in October. They've got some great special events. They've got the Women's Westward Expansion coming up, and that's going to be on October 3rd. October 6th, they'll have a family-friendly cooking class. McGoffin Home, McGoffin Home site. Let's see, October 11th, they're going to be at the Pioneer Celebration. It's a free family event, and Six Guns and Shady Ladies will be hanging around there.
Oh, you do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yes, we will. And we'll be doing a lot more talking about that as we get up to that time. But get ready for Tom Lee Month.
Are you ready for trivia?
I'm trivial.
That's true. But as you start to talk like Bernie.
Yes.
That's not necessarily.
That's my husband.
Yes, it
is.
Ready, the husband. I worked with him yesterday on the videos that we're doing. I had this all morning yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
What you're talking about.
24/7, yes.
Right, what was the first question we got?
The first question was how. Ow.
Whoa, Oscar, turn your... Oscar, we just put your phone line on. You got to turn off your radio, Oscar. So we'll come to Oscar in a second. Go. What's
okay,
the question?
How many years has UTEP's History Day program been going on? About, roughly.
Oscar, you turned your radio down?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Oscar. I lost my hearing.
Okay, try this question. Did you hear it?
Yes. The one I was trying to answer was what the gentleman went to compete for. I don't think I turned it on early enough for the first one.
Oh, okay. So the second question was, what did Joseph, what was his format that he went to the National Day, History Day? What was his format? Was it video, debate, or presenting a paper?
Yes, I believe it was video.
Yay!
Oh, how hard is this? We're trying to give this stuff away, obviously. You paid any attention at all.
Okay, so did you want the Pepes or did you want an El Paso Gold DVD, which we were talking about, video?
A DVD, please.
Ooh, okay, we've got a couple of choices. You like ghost videos? It's ghost season in El Paso already. Not everybody can tune into ghosts, but the way we did it is we're not out to spook you. We're out to show you history. And what I did was I started with Santa Lazaria. I went down there and said, okay, the jail was broken into by Billy the Kid and all the records burned into fire. What was next? So I took a psychic down there. That is something different to do. And we recorded it. You can take it or leave it. But the experience is quite unusual, so that's what that is. How about that one? That was number two. Did I talk you into it?
Okay. Well, if I could take a general history of El Paso, I don't remember which one it is.
Well, sites and markers. Historic sites and markers was prepared for the classroom, believe it or not. And you will be able to see 28 different segments, each of which is a teachable moment explaining El Paso history. That's what Oscar gets on line one, shall we? Oscar, anything
that
else on your
mind? Wonderful.
Anything
Thank
else
you.
On your mind this morning, sir?
No, thank you guys for this show, and I do enjoy it.
Thank you for listening.
All right, hold on. Shelly's going to pick you up and tell you how to deal with that, and she will tell you you have to come here and get it is what the problem is. Okay. James took off. James probably had that same question. We now go to Judy. Judy, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, the question we have left is how long has the History Day program at UTEP been going on?
I believe almost 20 years.
There you go. All right.
So we almost give her the prize?
We almost give her the prize.
Oh, no, we have to give her the prize. Of what, Pepe's and DVD still
Pepe's,
available?
Pepe's, yeah, we have Pepe's or an El Paso Gold DVD. Which would you like?
Pepe's, please.
You got
Pepe's
it.
Pepe's for 25. And as soon as Pepe figures out what he did, he'll next get these now.
DVD, which we were talking about.
Okay, now you've got your radio on too loud in there. I tell you, I'm going to put you on hold here, Shelly. We'll tell you how to pick that up, Judy. And Shelly, line two, gets a Pepe. So there we are. Well, thank you for playing on that. We're going to take another break here and come back and talk El Paso history. El Paso History Day, which folds into Regional History Day and National.
That is correct.
Uh-huh. So what's the big deal? We've got to find out where we need to get involved in this. And how people can get their grandchildren and their children involved in this. Maybe amongst the three of y'all, there's a plan we can figure out how to get people involved in it. Because, Mr. Hart, Joseph, you got involved because of your teacher and your parents?
Well, I got involved because of my teacher, because it was a part of the required curriculum in the class that I was taking from Ms. Jimenez. But my parents definitely helped out a ton.
Oh, yeah, but that's it. You have to have parents at some point buy into this. Because you got to go find the history all over town.
He went home and looked, look, I've got to do this. The parents went, yes.
Oh, exactly. All right, we're going to take a break, come back and deal with that. The number to call if you wish. Or Facebook, you're putting on Facebook.
I'm just getting into Facebook now. I just now got my computer up and running. So.
Well, number? Give him a call.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
All right, we got a brand new wheats up here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain. Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat subs. Going once, going twice. Sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah. Freak yeah!
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got radio going on again here. We got John Hamilton doing a book signing today.
You know what he did?
He did a book
on... He got it done.
Fort Bliss.
Yay.
And it's a picture book. It's an Arcadia book. And what he's going to do is sign him today, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Westside Barnes & Noble. And John was the director of the museum over there. So when he went looking for archives in the picture books, everybody at Fort Bliss said, oh, I got stuff for you. So he picked them, cherry picked them, and it's going to be a heck of a book. He's doing that today. Also, El Paso Corral, the Westerners, are meeting Friday, September 21st, 6 p.m., Holiday Inn West. Sunland Park, and that's the program is called Early El Paso's Mayors, and presented by Joseph Longo. It's dinner, $20. Call them up, 759-9538, and they can reserve you a place. Club Friendship, talking about Rosa Guerrera celebrating her life with dance and music, and that happens on September 25th at 11 a.m. St. Paul's Methodist Church. That number to call, 591-2326. And you've got stuff to work on over there, no doubt.
I got the Border Archives Bazaar. This is going to be October 13th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Thomas Rivera Conference Center at the Union East Building on the University of Texas of El Paso. And this is a Border Bazaar. It's a free event. And it's for the community to interact with fascinating historical collections from the border region. See rare photographs and documents, maps, publications, and others that highlight the unique history and culture of the area. And you can learn about the role that the archives play in preserving and promoting history. There'll be archivists, librarians, museum curators, and more than a dozen local institutions. And they'll discuss and answer questions about archives, history, preserving documents. Scan stations will provide limited digitalization. Thank you.
Did I get that right?
No.
No.
Digitization. I'll say that. There was no L. Services for family photographs,
digital
documents. No, there was no L.
There should be.
No, there isn't. Okay. And audiovisual materials brought in from the public. So it's a great event to go to, and they're going to have the mini digiwall there and short talks in English and in Spanish about regional history. So it's a great event. It's free, and there's open parking at UTEP on Saturday. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that more as we go along.
They're coming in as guests.
Yeah, this is great. I think it's something everybody should go to.
Everybody's getting involved in history that can, I think, because it's so interesting. Let's ask our panel here. Let's reintroduce our panel here. We got an interesting crowd of people.
We got a panel.
Dr. Brad Cartwright. He is the guy who does stuff in the history department. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Welcome here. We got Adriana Jimenez. It's Jimenez. You put the Jimenez. But you're a teacher at Wiggs Middle School.
Yes.
And you teach history when you can.
Yes.
Is that all you do?
No, I'm a humanities teacher, and it's a combination of English, reading, social studies for GT dual language kids.
But history is actually a course you teach, or is that after school?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then we got one guy who went through your program, Joseph Horak, a student.
Good morning.
Welcome here. So the idea, I'm curious, we just mentioned the digital wall. Have you all had any time with the digital wall?
Yes.
What do you do with it? Do you teach your students? What goes on?
Well, we actually had somebody from the History Museum go last year to Wiggs Middle School, and they took the wall, and they allowed us to play with it, and they allowed us to put stuff in there.
Oh, cool.
So it was a really nice experience.
That's an interesting repository of what we have here. Well, Dr. Cartwright, what is your take on what we have going on here? What would you like to tell the potential students for any of these History Day programs?
Well, really, I mean, History Day is such a fantastic opportunity, and I know that for a lot of teachers, if it's not incorporated into the curriculum, it seems sort of like an overwhelming project to add. But I think it can be one of the most meaningful projects that these young people do in middle school or high school. And so I'm working with the districts. I talk to a lot of the administrators to try to work History Day into the curriculum. I'm happy to go to any school or any district office and talk to the people about History Day to get them involved.
Put a phone number on that,
747-5878.
747-5878 for Dr. Cartwright to come speak to your administrators.
Absolutely.
About why history is important.
Or if it's just an individual teacher and you want to try it in one of your classes, I'm happy to come and talk to you as well.
Homeschool also?
Homeschool as well.
Perfect.
Okay, they just grabbed a pencil. They're ready now.
747-5878.
You might get a call or two. You never know.
I'll put it up on our Facebook page so people can
read. That's a good idea.
Got it.
And what else should people know? Why should kids get involved in this?
Well, like I said, I mean, first of all, we can do a better job. And I'm not talking about Adriana because she's been doing this. She's been amazing.
Well, she's an exception to what's gone on
she's
in this town.
Tremendous.
A positive exception.
But we can find a way to make history interesting for these young people. And again, like I said before, to give them skills that they can use in biology, that they can use in speech class, whatever it takes. So really it's about opening it up and allowing them to find something that they're interested in. Family history, local El Paso history, Texas history, but finding something, some avenue in. And then with History Day, they have these different categories that they can choose. They can write papers as individuals, but as individuals in groups, they can create documentaries, they can create websites, they can do performances, which are fantastic, and they can do exhibits, which are sort of the traditional science fair layout, the three-board poster board.
That's what I was going to analogize this to, is a science fair, which you have to do a lot of research and work here. Well, Joseph, when you went through this several years ago.
Yes.
What have you been doing since?
I was talking about this a little bit at the beginning of the program, that right now I'm really trying to start a broadcast journalism part in my school right now. We had a new journalism teacher come in when I was a sophomore there at El Paso High School, and we've been trying to build this website and only printing newspapers quarterly instead of printing them, you know, every 2-3 weeks. Because we thought, first of all, it's just like a big waste of paper, and second of all, you get to connect more, I think, with the student base with a website, because you can update it more frequently with little stories and stuff like that.
Well, the world's gone electronic.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You live in that world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they can respond quicker. And
yeah, absolutely. And we're also trying to build a little video YouTube channel alongside that, where we're going to have kind of shows that we want to be like news-type shows that you'd see on TV, you know, little 5-10-minute things where we talk about all the things going on at the school at that time. And we want to, right now we're in production on our first one of those, and it should be finishing up in the next couple weeks.
Are you doing history topics?
We sometimes write stuff on the website about El Paso High School history.
Well, you got a lot to work with there.
Yeah. I always usually, when October starts to come around, I'll write a story about, you know, one of the many different haunted or ghostly aspects of the school.
Oh, yeah.
And that's always a lot of fun. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
it's a ton of fun.
How about the missing girl in the picture? You've done that one already?
Yeah. And then also, I don't know if you knew this, but the catacombs that lie underneath the school that were originally built for storage were actually used as a mortuary during World War I, I believe.
The flu season. Wasn't it the flu?
I don't know.
I know they put fallen soldiers there. I think it was during World War I, though. I can't remember exactly which war.
But also you have some classrooms that have been sealed off for some reason in the middle of a basement of El Paso. Have you run into those yet?
I personally haven't seen those. I don't know if they exist or not, but the catacombs definitely have stuff in there that, who knows? It's super dark.
You weren't there when Toby Tovar was there, were you?
No.
Oh, he was a teacher that did a lot of interesting things there for decades, and then he died. But before he did, he wanted to talk to us, so we recorded an interview with him. And he explained all kinds of El Paso High stuff that just made no sense. But, of course, it's ghosts. That's what that is. All right, to the point of history. Brad, what do you do for El Paso history? Something particularly or something generally or just part of the world?
So one of the classes that I teach at UTEP that really focuses in on El Paso to some degree, is I teach the U.S. war with Mexico. And so I think, you know, our theme for History Day this year is triumph and tragedy, which is a sufficiently broad category that you can bring almost anything that's ever happened in the past into this category.
Yeah, breaking a leg.
This theme.
Tragedy.
Right. And so, but I think... you know, I would love to see students here in El Paso perhaps take on a project on the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo.
Oh.
I mean, there we have triumph and we have tragedy, depending on whose side of this that you're on. It will require students to develop some historical empathy and to look at history from both sides on a particular issue. And
how about the Mexican Revolution? Would that qualify?
Absolutely.
Is there a lot of both of those there?
Absolutely. Oh, there's just a ton of stuff to work with.
So what do you recommend to kids to think about? Do you recommend topics for students?
What we do, this is a statewide run organization through Texas State Historical Association. And so there are I'm one of the regional coordinators, and I think there may be about 17 of us across the state. And what we do is we create a list of Texas history and local history topics that we then publish on the Texas State Historical Association's website. And so if you did a simple Google search for Texas History Day, it'll lead you directly to the TSHA's website, and there you can see the Texas history topics, and I always make sure to add several El Paso topics to that.
I went to History Day UTEP, and I found you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And again, your new theme this year is
triumph and tragedy.
Okay, that covers a lot of stuff.
Last year was conflict and compromise. Your year was Joseph
leadership and legacy.
Leadership and legacy, and so they're broad, and so it gives students lots of options.
We should remind people, Joseph, that you picked a topic where it was one of your ancestors who was a police chief here.
Well, that was for my 7th grade project, actually, and that was a different thing. That was called Hometown Frontiers, but it's kind of like a miniature version of the National History Day.
Was that curriculum or was that volunteer for you?
That was curriculum also, my 7th grade year.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because we've been telling people it's not happening, but there it is.
Yeah, I think Wiggs is doing a great job of that. They have a great humanities teachers like Ms. Jimenez that really encourage kids to do little projects like this, and they make it a part of the curriculum.
Well, you were saying that there's also a large turnout from El Paso for this History Day program, which is surprising. I mean, not surprising. I guess it's surprising to me that we don't think there's enough, but that El Paso has a great representation at these programs.
It's true. And I would love for you to come on February 23rd, 2019, to our award ceremony and come check it out. Last year, we had 363 students compete here at El Paso. And so our award ceremony with teachers and parents is very, very big. About 45 of those students advanced to state competition in Austin in late April, several of which were Adriana students. And then I believe we had one or two that advanced from the Texas History Day competition to National History Day in College Park, Maryland. And wow. So and we're one of the larger competitions in the state.
That's in February?
That's in February.
March. I'd love to. Come back in here in March with a few winners and we'll hear their stories.
Well, I'd be happy
to. Yeah,
why
not?
It'd be great.
See, mm-hmm. That's the whole point. You need to teach the history in El Paso, but if you don't know what it is, how are you going to do that? So this is a good place to start. And there's so much history. It's amazing.
Yeah. And in answer to your question about the tunnels under the school, it was the Spanish flu that came in during World War I, but it was the Spanish flu that the bodies were stored in the tunnels.
Isn't Google wonderful?
I love Google.
In its own way. Sometimes maybe
I got to teach you all about Google, Joseph.
I remember, I remember reading about that when I was writing my last ghost story for the website, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
no, because World War I, that would have been, they would have been overseas.
Well, yeah.
No, I know.
If you want to see what we did with the ghost stories, we put that in Ghost Stories of El Paso, Volume 1. Mm-hmm. And Toby Tovar's interview was incredible. He talked about things going on in the gymnasium. The lady floating down the hallway, the chick up in the balcony, you know, and oh my.
We have like a collection of teachers who have been there for like 20 years plus, and each of them has their own story that they like to tell of like one time they were there late after everyone else or something along those lines.
Cathedral has some stories too. I have friends that are teachers there.
Something I just realized that they're doing now, there's a move now, and they've already started it. They're doing ghost tours at night at Waco Tanks.
Really?
They've just begun those.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's about to hit the fan. And that's going to be an interesting thing because I got news for you. There's stuff going on out there for sure. We did one of those. But other thoughts, Adriana, what should people hear from you about the parents, grandparents, getting the kids involved? What do you think what direction should we take here?
Well, first of all, I think students should pick something that they really like, something that they're very interested in. And then that way it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like an assignment. They're actually going to be researching something that they chose themselves, and it's easier to get invested in that. And then their parents are going to be on board a lot easier too. So, of course, parents are essential for this project to be successful because they're going to be driving them to the libraries and to meet on weekends, or they're going to have study dates. They're going to be spending a lot of time together. So parents are very important. Grandparents. I get messages from parents all the time saying that they just drove the kids to their interviews, or they're taking them to go talk to museum curators. So the parents actually become very involved in the project as well, and they become very knowledgeable.
They learn something.
Yes.
I have a question about you as a teacher in history. Are there more teachers like you around the districts? Or do you have an organization? Because I knew at one time there used to be like a history teachers organization or an association within the districts. Does that still exist, or is it?
Not that I know of, but we do have a core group of teachers that kind of work together. Teachers from other schools sometimes will get together, or we'll chit-chat on Facebook, or we'll text each other.
How do they find you?
Well, just because we've been doing it for so long.
I mean, somebody hearing this for the first time wants to get a hold of you.
Well, they can always email me. They can always email me. My email address is rajimene at episd.org.
And is there a Facebook page easier to remember?
Well, we don't have a history Facebook page, but you know, we've become friends through National History Day.
You're at Wiggs Middle School. If they call
Wiggs
there,
Middle
they can probably
School.
Find you.
Yes.
Because, I mean, that may be one way this gets going is if somebody hears about this, is, I could do that. How do I move on here?
And I think it's very important also for administrators when they find out, because I think when we have new administrators coming into a middle school and they really don't know about National History Day, they might think that it's going to take away from the curriculum, and they're a little bit scared to let the teachers really
have
get
some
involved.
Freedom.
I'm so lucky to have the administrator that I do, my principal, Mr. Tim Luther. He just kind of lets me run with all my crazy ideas, and he lets the kids go around and do their interviews, and he gets very invested in it as well.
You just said a magic word, crazy. That's the really sad thing, that it's not a crazy idea, that it should not be crazy. It should be a realistic idea. That's what's so frustrating.
I got a history question for you, too. Who was Wiggs School named after?
Harold Wiggs.
What did he do?
He was on the EPISD school board.
What was his business? I knew the guy. I knew him personally. He lived in the next block. He was in the appliance business. No big deal. I just thought I'd try.
Only because his dad was a teacher. He's got a list.
Well, my dad was on the school board. He got a school named after him and that kind
Polk?
Of stuff as well. And Polk Elementary, West Side, that's my dad's school. But the thing is, so I knew all those kind of people. I was just curious what you'd say about that. So we got to take a break.
Test.
Here.
It's a test.
I know. I got a little nervous.
But the point is, the history's everywhere.
Yeah.
And the idea is to push it out there, not because you want to jam it into their heads. It's something fun to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you really get into it, you'll find El Paso's a lot. This is a Six Guns and Shady Lady right here. And that's what she does when she's not here. They do reenactments all over. And you have a parade today, or Bernie?
Yeah, they're up in Mesilla. They were doing the September the 16th parade.
And so the gunfighter
on the
15th. Reenactment group goes mm-hmm. all over the place. And that's one really visual way to show off the history.
But we do the history. And that's a lot of us do a little bit more outside of just doing the gunfights and the shooting. It's a lot of us are very involved in the history of El Paso. And so we go beyond. That's one of the reasons we've been so successful for over 20 years. And we've won many awards is because we are involved in the history, not just the playing gunfighters.
The last one of theirs I went to was in the summer. They took over a train and they robbed it and blew it up.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah,
I've got it on video.
So anyway, that's what. But it's an actual event that occurred in El Paso. All right, taking one more break here. We're going to come back in a minute and talk about a few other things.
That's right.
And they can still call us or look on Facebook by
that's
now, right?
Well, I'm getting their picture up on Facebook in just a moment.
Two pieces of business first. We need to have a Pepe special. I forgot
right.
that last time.
Good.
Dr. Cartwright, what do you got? Any one of those things on there becomes the special.
The green chili cheese enchiladas.
They keep picking that one. All right. And see, what that means is whatever price is on there doesn't matter. Today it's $6 at Pepe's. And if anybody can make it, I'll buy you lunch out there for Pepe's if you can make it out there today. Not everybody on the radio. The guy I'm pointing to in the studio is Dr. Cartwright. You be careful how you say things
that's
on the radio.
Right.
Oh, everybody. No, you have to come bring your... In fact, can you make it today?
Unfortunately, I can't.
Not today. Okay.
Not today, but I'd love to do it in the future sometime.
We'll get you out there at some other point. And the other piece of business, what are we going to do here? Call us up if you need to.
915-544-5876 or look at our El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page because I'm going to have the picture up shortly.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Right now at Sprint, get the new Samsung Galaxy Note 9 on a network that's built for unlimited. It's the fastest note ever and perfect for gaming. Take your Fortnite skills to a whole new level with the new Galaxy Note 9 on the Sprint network. Visit Sprint.com/Samsung. Restrictions apply.
I used to post to job boards that sent me tons of resumes.
Just to find a few people who were right for my job.
That old process was not smart.
Then I went to ZipRecruiter.
Its technology scans resumes for me to find the right people.
And actively invites them to apply, so I get qualified candidates fast. Smart.
See why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. Based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with over 1,000 reviews.
Now,
more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I got to tell you, one of the main things we need to do is thank the control room crowd.
Them people.
In there. Got her head in the telephones there, talking to folks here.
Put her head out of the phone.
The guy pushing the electrons out the door and up the transmitter. One, two, three.
Sergio, Valenzuela.
That's because he scores a goal. He scores a goal when he does that. Yeah. We do appreciate it.
He puts up with us.
Just a quick thought here. I'll let you know, McGoffin Homes State Historic Site, a lot of activities this month, October, November. Go to their website at McGoffin Home. Just Google McGoffin Home El Paso. And the Celebration of the Mountains.
I got to promote this one tomorrow because it's tomorrow at 7:30 a.m., September 16th. It's the Three Rivers Petroglyphs. My very good friend, Valerie Provincio, is giving that tour. It's the Three Rivers Petroglyphs, and they're going to have a hiking trip up there. And they're going to, let me get over to the next page. It's going to start. They're going to meet. Where are they going to meet? At Artcraft at I-10 at 8 a.m. No, wrong place. Sorry. I jumped a page.
Go give her phone number out.
I know. 915-408-9535. They meet tomorrow morning at the Howdy's gas station at Highway 54 in McCombs. There's a $5 per car for the entrance fee, but it's going to be a great trip. And Valerie's an archaeologist, and she's very knowledgeable, and she does a great tour.
Trivia question for you. Where's Three Rivers?
It's up
north of Tularosa.
No, Tularosa, New Mexico.
Yeah, if you go past Tularosa.
Yeah, and it is really a great place.
You don't
place.
Turn right to Ruidoso. You go straight up there, and it's up in there
and
somewhere.
She and Louie, her husband, they give a great tour. And they're rock hounds, and they'll point out rocks.
Well, there's so much going on here. The Celebration of Our Mountains is a huge event started by UTEP professor Phil Goodell 20-some-odd years ago. And it's continuing on now. The locales are doing it. And now he's just started. Jim Tolbert, who runs that, has decided to do something called Celebration of Our History. So he's going to start putting up a website. Anybody having a history lecture or history program or history event, he'll do the clearinghouse for you, and it'll be a regular thing. And Celebration of Our Mountains is how he got into it. But now he's going to do Celebration of Our History. This could be a fascinating thing. So I think as we get history rolling along, I think it should be something everybody gets involved in. Let's go around the crowd. We've got about 1 minute left to each. Joseph, your thoughts on this whole thing? What do you recommend to people? What do you think?
Well, I think the National History Day is great, and I encourage everyone in middle school or eighth grade and high school, of course, to keep participating in it because it's a really important competition to really learn about different things throughout history. Like Miss Jimenez was saying, it's just all this stuff is so important, and we're not always getting it in our normal curriculum, so it's important to go out and do this research on your own sometimes.
Have you found some unusual things about our El Paso history?
About El Paso history, well, I was just telling Miss Jimenez that if I'm not mistaken, the first plane jacking in the country was in El Paso. That was when my great-grandfather was chief of police, and they were trying to steal the plane to go to Cuba.
And they shot the tires out.
Yeah. My great-grandfather and all his policemen were driving next to it on the tarmac, shooting out the tires.
The guy couldn't take off. Oh, I was here when that happened. It was interesting.
Miss
Jimenez, your last thoughts for the day. Thank you for being here, by the way.
You're welcome. I love National History Day. I think it's a great project. It's a fantastic idea. And I really like to see the kids getting involved in it as eighth graders and then continue throughout high school and college. It's a great way for parents also to get involved in this project. And it gives you some bonding time also when you're going around with your kids.
Very good.
Learning about history.
Share the history. And you can be reached from Wiggs Middle School, Miss Jimenez.
Yes, Wiggs Middle School.
Okay. And so, Doctor, what's your last thoughts for the day here?
History Day is an outstanding program, and if you have any questions out there that you would like to ask me, you can reach me at 747-5878. You can find me on the UTEP History Department's faculty webpage as well. Get involved, and if you need help, I will be there to help you.
Thank you very much for what you do and volunteering, because some of this is not paid, I'm sure. You're a volunteer. So thank you very much, and both of you, for what you do. And thank you for being a student and figuring it out. Come back when you become a professor and tell us how it went. Fair enough. All right, everybody else, we're going to take a break here and come back next hour. Sure. We're going to talk about a continuing idea by Dr. Jeff Shepard called the Border Studies. What is that? More El Paso
history?
Studying
the border, I guess.
We're on the border. So everybody else, that's next hour. See you then after the news.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
It's Saturday, September.